Episode 330. We finally have some news. I'm going to lead you off at the top. I'm not impressed. Just going to lay that out there now. Set the tone for the rest of the show. If you're here to pog at some new Overwatch content, click away now. I'm feeling feisty. I'm feeling froggy. And this boy about to jump. Yiska, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling confused why everyone is already, like, we do not have the information that's necessary in order to say how good this will be, right?
Preach, my brother. Preach. I could not say it louder.
Keep in mind, we are the apostles of open systems. We've been doing this, like...
Okay, pump the brakes there. I feel like you're giving me credit where it is absolutely undue. Okay. You, good sir. From the get-go of the now-deceased Overwatch League, have been the apostle of the open system. I was operating on the defense because I thought it could work. It didn't. And now open systems generate better competition. But I think that is more your... That is a credit for you.
I think, like, also... Keep... here, okay. I will outline the goals I have, and I will set a context as to why I think this is necessary now. The first thing is, my goals will be to inform why skepticism is deserved and why we really do not have enough information to judge why if this will be good and not. And why this most of the benefit of an open system is unfortunately lost in the current climate. Also, I feel like there is... a great incentive, especially to content creators right now, to just pog the fuck off and do some, pog face at, like, just anything. Like, everyone's just, I get it. We're starved. We didn't have, any information for a long time. It's also tainted by, you know, like once again, we're a little further along the coping trial of this information.
Yeah.
But... a lot of information is missing here, and there are glaring issues. Also, some of the moral kind that one has to consider, and I feel like it's fine to be in a moment of excitement because there was a very painful, departure from the Overwatch League. And there's a lot of love for things in Overwatch esports to continue. But it has to be contextualized into the thing that it actually currently is and how this is really just like, what's it called? When you, in German, it's called Wahlnachtzahlen. It's like you have numbers on a canvas and then you have to trace it and like color it in.
You know, color by number?
Color by number. Yeah. Yes. Like we haven't colored shit yet. It's really, there's no qualifying metrics as to what kind of experience we will get here. And mostly the lever or the bar that has a deciding factor here is money, is economic incentive, and what kind of people we can expect to work on this. And I think my goal will be here to give some context. I will say the following. Whatever I'm about to say rises not to the level of a report, otherwise I would have done it, right?
Sure.
It's the level of considerations, and I will not even insert rumors, but just inferences from the things that we currently know, and loudly speculating what kind of issues we might be running in. And if we do run into these issues, what is kind of slimy in the way it has been presented so far?
That is a question that I do want to get into, because that was definitely something that you kind of talked about prior to like getting into the show. Is the messaging, the packaging of the announcement being a little bit more glorified than it, you know, maybe should be?
No.
So that's definitely...
No, okay. I think... Okay, so I think in hindsight, people will realize this was a very deliberate, or they might wake up to the reality that this was a very deliberate rollout that strategically, I think they kind of nailed it, right? The way they presented it.
Sure, yeah.
I think just on the face of it, they're glaring moral issues with the production company that we've gotten to do this, right?
Which we will spell out for anybody who is living under a rock. We will go through that and why that is an issue.
Right. And to a degree, like, especially when it happens under the operation of, I think there's an interesting aspect to this where the press release explicitly had inclusive, that this would be an inclusive leak in the description. Now, I think that is possible with the current leadership in 2024 and how this is presented for the Overwatch Championship Series, meaning that we are, you know, in Dallas, in Stockholm. It's run by, you know, by the DreamHack and FaceIt folks. And Blizzard, by the way, from what I could gather, they're pretty still hands-on, right? It's not like they just, like, gave the keys to EFG and just said, okay, do whatever you want with it. They're pretty involved still with a team that had been heavily reduced in the past, right? So I think overall, what we know now in terms of that, I think it's possible that there is no direct cultural collision inbound because of it yet in the Overwatch Championship Series.
Okay. Yeah. I think that the operative word there in my mind is yet. But I do think there is some unpacking to do with, you know, your the idea that it was like somehow slimy. Like what does that mean to you? I don't know if that's something you want to get into or if you want to pin that for
later. Here's a first major issue as to why we cannot possibly say how good this will be. The first one is we do not have prize pool numbers other than I think WGG might have set them for their first split.
Right.
Depending on the prize pool numbers, this will create a vastly different incentive structures for organizations. It is very possible that none of the orcs will be excited about the championship series based on what kind of price tag is attached to it. Maybe this will be entirely amateurly player run. And you can dig that. That's not necessarily like a slimy thing. It should be something that should be disclosed in order to for fans to gauge the scope of the thing. Because like the wildly different like funding could absolutely impact how this works. Yep. I will say like from what I heard through the grapevine, it's at least in the caster field has not been great. Everyone has gotten screwed on their day rates. The cuts have been severe across the board.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So that is the first part. So we do not know much about the funding, and really just slapping like a schedule together is not very informative, right?
No.
About the entire situation. Now, okay, since you required the slimy part to be spelled out, I think it is important to consider that the schedule might look as such because they are in the, and let me bring this up, as Eric shows us, there's a huge gap in June and July.
Right.
So you might think this is just to make sure that this is a like a
mid-season
nice
break, am I right?
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's sort of like the same end of season break, right? And that might very well be the case. It's just awfully unfortunate that the Saudi World Cup directly slots into this hole that we're seeing here. Right? Now,
coincidentally, yeah.
Now, if that was the case, you have to ask the question, what the incentive structure created here is, especially given monetary asymmetric production value and price money that everyone might be getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a world where the price money for the Saudi World Cup is so astronomically higher than the Overwatch Championship Series that it almost consequentially doesn't matter. That just as an example of what that might mean, right? And now we're seeing this in an entirely different light on how this year calendar will be perceived, right?
Right. Yeah.
there's a possibility that maybe majors won't even be taken that seriously. For instance, it will take some of the sheen of the which take some of the sheen of the Overwatch Championship Series. Now I will say, like, there has been no announcement made. Of course, I think the first game that has been announced for the World Cup is Mobile Legends Bang Bang. It's the second most watched esport. It's a mobile game.
Right.
I think
Riot Jacob Games Wolf, right? Yeah, reported that Riot's in talks.
Yeah, so like they're padding the largest esports title on the market. Given the affiliation with EFG, it just is awfully convenient here.
Yeah.
Right? So, given that possibility, that I cannot verify whether or not that's the case here, but that has to be taken in consideration when seeing this. If my thoughts, like if that's not the case and they just, you know, the Overwatch Championship Series will have a healthy price pool, it will create an incentive structure. Maybe nobody can be truly professional again. Maybe only the best players can. Maybe everyone needs to create content. That's all fine and dandy, right? And we have like a full year calendar because people can also play Face It and like all of that stuff happens and it's all fine. And this is just what we're going to do going forward. Once again, the prize pool point remains. The dream hacks are sort of like the jumping board of the future of Overwatch esports. It has to sort of like prove itself, and then it can jump onto bigger products because the EFG portfolio is large, right? Like there's a within the EFG portfolio, think of DreamHack as like, you know, it's DreamHack really is an expo of sorts, a large LAN and a BYOC, a cosplay event, but also esports happens there, right?
Yes.
So this is not a dedicated esports tournament thing, right? Like, I think for ESL, for CS, the Challenger Series happened there. That's like a tier 3 event for them.
Yeah. Okay?
So there are upgrades if the precedent is set that the viewership could be there, right? So whatever that might be and whatever product would spawn from that if an incentive structure or if a proof of concept of Overwatch esports was to go up again. And like the numbers that we saw in terms of, I think there was some former marketing guy putting out like a LinkedIn post saying Overwatch has 50 million active players. I wonder how many of those are console players. Let's say half and half, 25 million. That's like a player base that can be appealed to. It's not a small game. And like the F2P would have like supported the sheer numbers, right? That esports could feed off of. And then you can also just improve the product. Another issue that I hinted at which I did not foresee when I advocated for the open market system was, in my mind, the open market system is a beautiful constellation of competition and really like different tournament organizers improving themselves by fighting against each other, maybe like vying for the interest of Blizzard to host the world final and creating an increasingly good product, much like CS did, right? Like they had Blast, they had PGL, they had ESL for a while that was still independent, they had Face It. There were like four TOs that were all independently creating these major events just to get the attention, to clearly have the best product. The UI improved a lot. The casting improved. The casting rates improved. The attention improved. The stage build-up improved. The storytelling improved. All of that just rose, right? it's not like we're starting from scratch, because a lot of that knowledge is within that company. You're right. Like these guys are competent. But that competition that would be required to really nail down how Overwatch Esports wants to be broadcast is not there at this point, right? They've functionally, even if there were other third-party tournament organizers coming in, they do not have the resources at this point to do anything similar, right?
Yeah.
Even though I would love for someone like PGL or Blast to come in, right?
Let me raise you something there, right? When you bring up kind of like competing like third party TOs that could raise the level of like production or just add a sense of like meta competition outside of the competition, right? At the very least, and it's not in Blizzard's best interest to do this, but in some ways it is, having or leaving open enough room so that a third party could be interested. Because I feel like as it stands right now, functionally, there's no rhyme or reason why somebody else outside of the tentacle grasp of, you know, Savvy Games Group and whatever, to do anything in Overwatch. There's no reason, and there functionally will probably never be a reason. At the very least, they could have done that much, and yet here we are back in a functionally locked ecosystem again, right?
Yeah, and it is sad, because like in my ideal world, like if there was competition, people like, you know, the crew behind Avast Co-Stream, like these guys that create like the big brain, what's it called? Brain? I'm blanking on the name. I think its name is their name is Slimo. I'm not 100%, but like just the guys that are producing that stuff, they would be getting like, you know, offers, and like they would be the people that design the product, help design the product, and really raise it up. People that would let go from the esports division at Activision Blizzard recently would be able to apply their stuff there. People that were casting and had. Because casters are not just casters. They're also already producing and informing the broadcast in which direction. They're pitching ideas, right? They would go into these producer roles, and they would have competing, you know, companies that would hire that brain power in order to compete against one another and make the product better and really figure out what Overwatch Esports wants to be, right? And there is more freedom to find that out now. There's more competence, because one thing you gotta say about EFG, they are just like the competence on in terms of esports, because just by virtue by very few others being left, even though shout out to Blast, they also always do a good production job.
Yeah,
but it's still not the same in the competitive sphere of producing top notch esports content. And doing so under the market pressure of having to compete or lose out on the world finals, on a major.
Yeah. I think this is a after hours podcast topic, but I do wonder, I would like to pick your thoughts on Blast's run of production, but regardless. It's endlessly confusing. I think it not to summarize, but I think in kind of looping back to like the original point of like being confused at like the community sentiment, like I feel like we're kind of just saying exactly what we said at like the end of the Overwatch League. I think these last few shows that we've done that have been a little bit more like Overwatch esports focused and less like historical precedent setting and like rankings and whatnot has been like hopeful because of like the absence of you know, any kind of news, and we're kind of like looking at this new canvas, right? And we're hoping that all this experimentation is going to happen, and what's been announced thus far isn't much, and it's really limiting to what you can do, right? Like, yes, you can look at EFG, and you can look at Faceit, and they do a good job. But if we're going to operate under the premise of like casters' day rates being cut, like, do we expect at least this year the budget for Overwatch esports to be very big?
Yeah,
I would guess no, right?
Maybe it's just a market correction of casters across the industry, just because co-streaming is also now a very viable way to broadcast and sort of like actually crowdsource the funds, because fuckers actually donate to co-streamers. They would not buy a license or like a subscription to an esports channel, but as long as there's one face that's familiar pogging at their screen, for some reason their dollars, it's much looser.
Yeah.
So like co-streaming is a viable way to sort of crowdsource shoutcasting or entertainment in some way. But I don't know, like in that part, you have to take it as what like one data point in the consideration of the production budget maybe not being too high. I'm also, maybe this is asking too much, but I would have liked to see 3 international events this year.
That's kind of you're barking up my tree in that realm. I think the long and short of it, TLDR, if you want my points recapped throughout the like what I'm about to say for the rest of the episode, is that literally nothing has changed and things have only technically gotten worse. Functionally have gotten worse.
Let me see. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, I think DreamHack so far. Wait, that's okay. So they have Australia, they have Dallas, they have Jönköping, which is in summer. They have Atlanta and they have Stockholm. So they have 5 events announced for 2024.
Yeah,
I'm not saying 5, but 3 would have been nice, right? Like,
3 would have been an improvement. 3 would have been because this is, and again, fans of the show will like have this beaten down their mouth holes consistently, is like Overwatch and esports is meant to be consumed in a live audience. Like, LANs are what makes esports esports. We have to get back. It has been a struggle to try to get developers to return to LANs since COVID, which I understand, and obviously the market is a little, you know, skeptical with esports. Understood, I get that. But that is, I think, where you have any kind of growth, even if it is like a lost leader. Like, that has to be where we return to. So again, if we're just stripping this down into the facts of the situation, last year, we had 2 international events. This year, we will have 2 international events. What's exciting about that? The fact that it's open? Okay, sure. If you're open circuit pilled, I get it. Let me raise you the question of who's going to pay the players? Because the orgs aren't coming back.
Yeah, like, that's another thing that I don't know about. Like, who's paying the travel for them there?
Good
is
question.
That included?
Like, I don't know. That would be a great like player-led summit discussion, because let's face it, and Blizzard knows this. I know they know this. There's nothing Blizzard is going to want to offer to these teams, and I'm picking those words very carefully. They don't want to offer this anymore. They have actively stopped offering any kind of like incentivization to the organizations. I highly doubt they will stop incentivizing viewers, meaning like drops and stuff will probably continue. But the connections with the orgs likely will not happen this year. I won't speculate on what happens in the future, but at least for the time being, I can't imagine that these are talks that are actively being had. So what's the point of having an Overwatch esports team right now? I really highly doubt that there will be very many. There may be some, like some teams
again,
out there.
It depends. We don't know anything, right? Like, that's the problem. I cannot successfully, like, let's say the majors have a $3 million prize pool. Suddenly, it absolutely makes feasible sense for orcs to go in, because the big international events have some incentive structure, because like they get a profit share and it probably comes out in the wash. They can promote some sponsors. It's probably not super minus, right?
Sure. I think there is like a reason to believe that, like, if the international events are sexy, that some teams may come back. But again, you're looking at like a very, because that's the plight, the pros and cons, the balance of an open circuit is that, like, you will have a top heavy system. Like, the players that are being paid will just be the best players, and everybody else will be underfunded, won't be able to travel, will have issues getting visas, all the same stuff that esports has had forever.
Yeah.
And like, this is not a foolproof plan or system. So again, I
look, it's
really want to gauge your expectations there.
It's entirely possible that they have already factored all of this in. There's like maybe some skin incentives where people get a profit share or whatever you can do in esports, right? Realistically, in order to subsidize it in some way, right? And they tried that with World Cup, and maybe that set a precedent. It's possible, but maybe that has to be in the announcement. The structure means nothing.
Yeah,
it really doesn't. Right? Like the assumption would have had to be that, like, that it, if it was an open system, and let's be honest, like we knew that in September based on the reporting, yep, that WDG and EFG was going to come in. What did people expect? Right? Like this is the bare minimum of what you expect without the added information. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you hear third-party tournament organizers, they better
there's only
have
so many left
a tournament organization platform in place with Faceit, something like this,
yep,
or WaraGG or whatever it is for WGG, and they better have offline events. That's the point. That's the thing. You knew this, right? What you do not know is, how do you get all the boys to the yard?
Yep.
Where's the milkshake? Right? Like, you gotta say, the way this is being perceived publicly, they did it right. The way they rolled out this information just tells me they did it right. But I hate that it is, and I hate the reception of the community in that regard, even though I, from a human perspective, understand that
emotionally, and we get it.
That, like, you feel like, oh, it's not over. Well, it was never going to be over, right? Like, I want to know if Proper has to work work a second job in order to do what he does.
Yeah.
That's the things that inform my enjoyment. Or will those guys go to Valorant? Do you have anything here to stay for these folks?
Yeah. What?
And if not, like, Do we now filter for content creators? Is that where it's going? Are we going to have a lot of publicity teams where, like, it's more about the kayfabe and, like, the entertainment, and we will have, like, folks that are predominantly not serious about competition?
I hope so. I think that would be wildly successful.
And I think it's going to be part of it just because of the open system. When we had something like that for Contender Season 0 where, like, fun teams were participating, now with the added benefit of, like, the infrastructure of streaming and the accessibility of that, like, you can spin more of a story, and that's also going to be part of it. But I, in order to buy in, need to know these things. I need to understand what kind of people I encounter, what kind of stories are possible being told. I need to know who gets to tell these stories. Presumably, whoever was on that broadcast is going to stay around. So Zoe's going to be around. That's already a plus, right? Who else is bought in? People have families, right? Like, they got to... is that not important? I feel like this is more important than the structure. No?
It is, but I think that's something, like, incredibly difficult to get, like, locked in this early on. I think you and I both know how late, at least, Blizzard tends to move in that realm,
this,
you know?
This was already, like, had to have been delayed by several weeks.
Sure.
I think, like, this was probably something that they wanted to release much earlier, but I don't fault them for that. Things take longer than they usually do, right? Like, my entire issue is not even, like, they're a publicly traded company. They have to do the best they can in order to make the most money. There's no moral culpability to that point there. They have to frame it in the way that it gets the most positive press. And they did so successfully in terms of that. You got to laud them. But like my frustration really is with the reception of it. And I do not necessarily fault the community, but the only guy that is endemic that I saw speaking about these issues is Spillo. It's the only guy I saw raising those issues. Every grifter from the general like content creation stuff that hasn't paid any attention to the sinking ship of Overwatch League, it was there to dunk on and get cheap views, is now pogging in their fucking thumbnail, talking half-baked shit and misinforming their audience, like as they have been doing for the longest time. And the fact that they get to reap the benefits, have those videos be their top-performing stuff of like the month and whatnot, grinds my gears. It disgusts me that this works. These audience-captured fucks. Have some shame.
And again, this is not coming from a place of like, oh, jaded and sad podcast host who isn't pulling the numbers that he used to is just upset that he's not successful. No. This all comes from a place of like not moral wrongness, but also a little bit of that. Like, this is just disappointing. You know what I mean? That like social issues. Even, and that's not just the only angle that you can take this in, but like that's a pretty damn big one. Just gets kind of swept under the rug because we love games, right, guys? We love competing when our favorite Mercy game with our Tracer, like it's sad. It's sad that like this is not something it takes a video from like Sideshow to be like, oh yeah, I forgot about Saudi Arabia. You know what I mean? Like,
and this is the like, community where it shouldn't happen. This
right.
is the esports that someone that is in COD lobbies and like spends 50% of their life there isn't going to be morally opposed against that. That someone like from the CS community won't be. Okay. But isn't this the community that prides itself on those values? Why are we so quiet about this?
Yep. It is disappointing. And I think like my general unhappiness I think bleeds a little bit farther beyond the content creators, and I think it goes into like the peer sector where it's just like, oh, we're all really excited about this. Like,
I get it. Like, have your like real talk, probably what we too should be doing is like live in the reality that they eventually will come around. Because the audience comes around, they will have to change their tune. They get to farm that shit as well. It's just the nature of the beast. Like, theoretically, like, us getting upset at this is just, like, you know, really inconsequential. But, it is frustrating that this is the mechanism of how this has to work. Because, arguably, at this point, things could maybe still be put into motion to alleviate those issues, right? It's always too late. It's always going to be a little too late. Every single issue that is of that nature is always going to be addressed too late, and then it's about dealing with the consequences of whatever wrongdoing. And we're not going to change the world playing games, okay? It's delusional to think that those standards should be applied here, but yeah, sometimes. I guess like maybe it's just a moment of like an upset guy raging. It's very possible that it's just me venting, but like the reception of this had me really troubled. Just from a point of view of who now gets to do this and how little friction there was. Because even if like you this may be a moral pathway to work with EFG, And have that be if you make sure that you're very loud about enforcing your values. We're not setting a great precedent right now. There is no counter push. There's one guy, and that's Spillo. Everyone else, and to be fair, I haven't literally hate watched every Overwatch content creator. I caught a couple of the big ones.
Yeah.
But, like, it has to be part of the discussion in order to make sure that the Overton window is established early enough to set boundaries of what is feasible, right? And this is not against people. This is merely against a very specific position. Once again, I would there refer to Sideshow's excellent video where he talks about the transformative difference that in this situation that we're currently finding ourselves in.
Yep. It is a state, I think, that will be a cornerstone of like how esports moves forward, at least for like younger audiences that you can kind of go back to and not cite, but like remind like how to consume as ethically as possible, I think was like one of the biggest takeaways from that video. But yeah, I don't think you're wrong in like reflecting on the disappointment and the frustration at like any kind of, and I think you use the right word, like friction to this. I understand the initial pullback, the recoil of it, being like, okay, like, are we crazy here? Let me hit you with a question that kind of popped in my head as you were speaking. Like, was if you were to poll either our audience or the general Overwatch esports audience and ask the following, what do you think they would say, right? Like, do you think the OWCS is a resounding announcement? Is it a successful announcement of what's to come?
I feel like so.
Most people would say yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I think they which is
fair. They announced something, right? That we have news. That's great. Now, if we look at it, and I feel like a lot of the discussion that we've had thus far has been from like a moral, ethical, social standpoint, which again is something that we will consistently have to have due to Faceit's ownership, which is Savvy Games Group, which is connected to the Saudi Arabian royal family. Correct? Am I wrong in saying that? Fact check me.
Yeah,
that's true, right?
Yes. That's okay. Direct. Savvy Games Group is a direct connection to the Saudi investment fund.
Right. Okay. So like there are obviously like ideological conflicts with how we have spun up a lot of like inclusive tournament series and their ideology. There's some serious conflict there, right? There's some serious
hold them
problems
to the announcement. It is announced as an inclusive league. Whenever you see that inflicted, call it out.
100%. And
way,
I think
if you win more on optics if you already have a plan for the Overwatch World Cup and crucially for Calling All Heroes. That would have maybe quieted some doubts already, right? I'm not doubting
if there
that
were any, but there aren't.
I'm not doubting that something like this is probably also being considered. It was just not ready in time.
Sure.
But like, you gotta throw a bone to a guy here. Come on.
It's a little too easy, but that's just one angle, right? Like you can waffle and you can hand wave. That's fine. But if we again, if we strip this down and we compare it to the product that we just got done killing, what is transformatively different structurally from what is announced? And you can like I mean the
involvement of a government in the ownership of the entire production, right? Like,
yes. But do we expect like a heavy hand to really kind of like do we expect that budget to be like transformatively different than what we just got? Am I crazy in saying no?
In what?
In like the product that we will be consuming this year.
You mean the OWCS?
Correct. Yes.
That would be much lower, I assume.
Exactly. So again, like, I'm just looking at a functional comparison of what has been announced and what we can extrapolate from 2024 to what we just got done consuming with the death of the Overwatch League in 2023, right? Let's look at the functional comparisons, right? Two international events. Nothing's changed. Admittedly, you, again, on record, you have admittedly, like, speculated that the budget may be lower than what we've had in the past for production. Is that fair?
All I can go on based on the metrics that I have, right?
And I think that's, like, a fair assumption.
Like, that's, once again, keep in mind, I should have, basically, whenever I made this statement, I should have just, like, had the little reminder of, like, don't clip this out of context, bitch. Like, I know you want to, but once again, this is all extrapolating from public information of what we currently have, and the like, it's not raised to the level of a report at all. In many ways, I'm podcasting. I'm not reporting or journalisting here. I'm sharing what I'm inferring from what we're seeing or what we're given, and voicing these concerns, and would be pleasantly surprised if none of them come true.
Yeah, agreed. I would echo a lot of the same points. Like, great. I'm so happy to be wrong here. If the budget's more, great, awesome. Let's see. Let's talk about how we can use that better than we did last year. Awesome, great. That's obviously not stuff that we're ever going to be privy to, but we will definitely see come March 1st, right? As, like, things start spinning up. Great, awesome. I would love to be wrong. But let's even go neutral. Let's just say it's the same. Okay, nothing's changed. Again, two international events, a similar production budget. Maybe we use it a little differently. Maybe we use it a little worse. Who knows, right? Now we have an open system instead of a closed system. Well, how open is it really? We just got done talking about, you know, Yusuke brought up a great point about how the actual competition around the production to really find out what is the correct format, what's the correct map pool, what to really refine down, which has been the biggest issue in Overwatch consumption, is really how to shave down to shape the viewing experience so that it is a more watchable product, because let's face it, it's kind of dog shit. That's gone out the window because we're still hermetically sealed, right? This is in function a very similar product with the information that we have today.
It's also, and, by the way, that's another thing we don't know. At what point is competition going to be streamed? And if it's large brackets, it has to be a selection made, right? And at what point are we actually getting to see live matches? Is it just really on the teams to broadcast their matches? And if one of those teams says no, you're done for?
Oof. Yeah.
Is that how
to be fair, to operate within that logic, and again, patron producers, I know I have not forgotten about you. We've just been rolling, and when I find a moment, I will announce your names. Don't worry. Now, mind you, I think there is a precedent to be set with a lot of the Flash Ops stuff. I think, you know, any kind of, like, Timmy in the chat that's naysaying you, we just got done watching a kind of for funsies, like, tournament that did a very similar concept where all of the matches were operating at the same time. All of them were going, and you had a production that was selectively picking and choosing which matches were being broadcasted, right? Like, that
and
is
some of them just
likely
didn't allow it, right?
Sure. Because reasons, right? Yeah. Like, that's if there was ever a time for Blizzard to, like, big dick and, like, just
that should be, like, you should never
that
be
should just be the
including
terms of service,
including streams by the other teams, and probably also even enforcing that in scrims to some degree in order to make it a socially accepted part of how you play Overwatch. Fuck
Fair.
That. Like, saving strategies, you're not that inventive anyway. You're playing the same shit, like, as anyone else. Your rollout will be figured out after the second time it occurs. You're not special. Just, you gotta hit heads better, okay?
And you're all leaking to each other anyway, so, yes. Like, let's not fucking quit lying to yourself.
Yes, that's the key point. You're all chatty bastards anyway.
Brother man, I got more VODs than fucking got. That's actually not true. I have a couple, but. That, regardless.
Also, like, that's in part also a little, I feel a little bad for the the Fuel players that were name called during that one exposure. Who said it again? Who outed
exposure? What do you mean?
Someone outed that scrims were leaked. Who did that again? Eric, do you remember?
Is that like the Chio Dom?
No. It was about scrims being leaked in season 2 or 3 by Dallas Fuel members. I think Zachary was one of them. Someone recently dropped that information.
I mean, not shocking.
That list is much longer across the Overwatch League as well.
Yeah,
of course. They are a bit quiet about that shit as well. I think Harsha pointed it out at in one of the Four Horsemen episodes as well. Can dig that up. Don't want to air any dirty laundry here. But, like, yeah, there's some ubiquity if you're playing scrims against practically everyone.
Sure. Like, again, like, functionally, like, quit lying to yourselves. Like, you need to make content. The fact that I'm watching a, like, traditional journalist literally echo everything that we've been trying to tell players for the last, like, 5 years in traditional journalism with, like, the recent layoffs at, like, Sports Illustrated and, like, whatever the fuck's going on, like, is a weird, surreal experience. But regardless, again, functionally, nothing has changed.
What do you mean?
Am I crazy in saying that? Like, from the product that we have, that has been announced in 2024?
From Overwatch League in comparison?
In, like, comparing last year's product to what has been announced for this year.
I think that's overly simplistic. I think it would be a very different, just like by the, you cannot be a one-team Andy. That is impossible now. You cannot follow one team, be fan of them, and get the amount of games that you got previously. Like,
sure.
Like, how many games is your team going to play? Even if you get one of the good teams,
right?
Is that a
good thing, though?
I mean, there are a lot of one-team Andes, I assume, in Overwatch esports previously.
Right? I think, are there not, like, just, I feel like that's just how esports is kind of consumed, no?
Right.
I feel like
we,
like,
have to that's my point. It's so different that we are going to going through transformative changes by the format, what kind of people will be attracted to the product, because, like, you're no longer going to be fan of a team, of a franchise, of a location. You're going to be a fan of Overwatch esports and the drama that happens there, and you're probably not going to be overly attached to just one team, because that one team loses in round 2 of the 512 bracket, and now they're out for 6 months.
Am I crazy for saying that's, again, and this is the most optimistic view of what you just described, is that not a step backwards to try to move forward?
No, I think we just need to... Okay. this is my hater speaking. I'm letting my hater out, and then I'll give you the reason.
Oh, is this like a cull the sheeps moment?
But, like, the culling of the pleb fans? Oh, I'm looking forward to that shit. Give me a new selection of people that actually are esports fans, and not just, like, Homer Andes that don't understand what's happening anyway. Okay, this is the hater, and now I'm going back to...
And back to business.
Considering the way consolidation works, it makes much more sense, in order to attract an audience, to have overarching brands from the general esports public come in, for folks to enjoy the entire esports experience, to create narratives not around one team, but the sort of the interaction with anyone else, and weave something there and create magic here, and the underdog run and the team you never heard of. And everyone that's heavy coping, if those Overwatch League players stick around, they will absolutely curb stomp the shit out of your amateur dreams that you think is, like, all the people that were held back by the gatekeepers that were GMs. No, you're not winning a single scrim box in the next 6 months against these guys, okay? But the general idea, I think it will be very transformative. I think, like, just to look at the schedule, go like, oh, this kind of looks like the calendar of the Overwatch League in terms of the coverage of the year, which is already not true because, like, it's much more wide-ranging. We didn't start in February earlier, and we didn't end in November. It was much more condensed. We had 6 months off seasons. We did not have the level of, like, I can lock into Face It and then become a champion. We did not have the bracket play.
Fair. Okay.
The broadcast experience, therefore, will be different. We do, like, the localization and the franchising is completely gone. That is very different. That's transformatively different. And I
would argue is worse for the time being. In the short term, I think that is worse. No? I think it's incredibly difficult to...
I mean, for short, yeah. Like,
to boldface tell me, and I agree with you. I also think that this is likely going to be the case, that, like, moving forward within this year, maybe the next year as well, that viewership will probably begin to dwindle because we are selectively broadcasting, potentially, again, speculating here, what games are going to be put out there. A lot of the original motif, theme around the marketing of Overwatch esports has been about localization. That has gone out the window, so we've been bleeding those players, those fans anyways. All of those fans will likely be gone by the end of the year. It is hard for me to believe that it's going to improve. Yes, like bringing in a successful like whitelist production and Face It, like I'm going to be, you know, pleasantly surprised if things go like well or different. I do think that like things and messaging has to change, and like the way that we craft narratives both has to be better and has to be different at the exact same time for a company that has been pretty woeful at doing that in the past. I really have a hard time believing that they're going to succeed in doing that in the future, because they just haven't given me anything. Every time they try to tease me with a little bit of it and I praise them for it, they immediately stop doing it, right? And they stop communicating and they stop crafting narratives and they stop doing anything that's going to succeed in this esport. So again, yes, I think it is overly simplistic to go, oh, look, two international events, same, speculate on budget, worse, you know, like, yes, it is overly simplistic. But I think the idea of the exercise is to really try to strip away the fandom of, oh my God, like, we finally have news. We're so back, baby. Overwatch is back. Woo! Like, and try to think about this critically and go, okay, what can we see improvements on? Because a lot of this is going to be different, but it also is going to be worse.
Yes. Okay, so did we get the negativity out of our system? We can talk about some of the positives here, because I have some cope. Okay.
Okay, cope for me. I want to believe.
Are you good? Are you cleansed? Are you...
No, I'm not cleansed. I'm so.
Any other negative points? Because now we can, like, you know, if people just want to have the good feels, we can say we can make a hard cut, and now I can.
You've had enough good feels, kids. Any good feelers in the chat? You've had a week of good feels. You've had from the announcement to watching the Flats video to watching all of your favorite pundits on Twitter go, we're so back, baby. Woo! Like, you've had enough. It's time for the adults to step in and go, guys, maybe this is not great.
Do not, like, actually, Bad Patch and Mary kind of gave away the playbook, because that fucker knew, okay? Like, that tweet saying, like, I'm going to Valorant Esports.
Sure, yeah.
Of course that dude knew, okay? And that kind of gives away how the predictions worked in the past. Anyway,
Yeah.
I half expect there to be a council of predictions in the Bad Patch and Mary Discord going, like, okay, let's get the real predictions and then bullshit some to the point of barely believability. I think that's the Bad Patch and Mary method, and it has worked.
I think that's
so
the
fabulously.
That's the only kayfabe that we have left in Overwatch is like the believability of Bad Patch and Mary isn't actually
it.
Like an industry plant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Or okay, actually, not an industry plant, but an industry has morphed into an industry plant, right? I think originally was, you know, one of the good ones, if you will, and then, you know, just has way too much information at their disposal to not, like, utilize. You know what I mean? It's not a bad thing, but, like, let's admit, like, if if I know how scrims are going, I have to imagine that BP has a way clearer idea of what the fuck's going on and can make those predictions seem a little bit more juicy than what they actually are.
We were actually just like the Overwatch community's fucking Amazing Randy. You know who that is? Amazing Randy was a dude.
Amazing Randy.
Amazing Randy, amazing dude, by the way, was a guy that basically always cleared up all the charlatans and all the, you know, snake oil salesmen.
Honest.
Cleared up the magic tricks worked.
Okay,
telepathy
yeah.
worked and all Got of it. That okay. stuff. Like, it's a little bit being a little bit of a killjoy, but maybe that's not the way how to create content, but
my predictions are magic and I will not be Amazing Randied on my own show. This is my predictions are magical. I am fed information and act against it and I'm still right. That's how magical I am. Continue.
That makes me mad.
That's the funnest aspect of this entire thing is that somehow the universe conspires against Yiska at every impasse. And I hope in my own cynical view that continues with the cope that you're about to try to feed me, because I want to believe, but you are fighting uphill to articulate any kind of salient point other than, well, we don't know. Because we've been saying that for, let me get my clock out, 7 years. Well, we don't know what next year can hold. Maybe they will do narratives better. They don't. Oh, we don't know. Maybe they will not go to Riyadh and do some weird shit.
Yeah,
they will.
Wait, okay. You got it. I'm cutting off the negativity here. I'm making a hard cut. Sure. Okay.
Okay, hard cut.
Pog out.
Do
a Wim Hof method, whatever you need in order to get your endocrine system fucking check the fuck out. We're going positive here.
All right, hit me some cope. I want some cope.
Here's the cope. I think this open system makes it possible that we will see some familiar faces that will actually legitimately be fun.
Yeah. I can't believe you're saying that. That is actually bonkers to me.
It's possible that all those streamers will have a try. If it's an open system,
sure, I'm sure they will.
They make it there, right? Like that's a possibility,
yeah. And that's good.
It
I like
shuffles
that.
Around a ton of the production, right? And how things work, and who does what, and who gets to present, and that type of stuff. It's a possibility to create new excitement with lower barriers, and I'm getting a little queasy because Blizzard is still so heavily involved, and while previously I would have disliked that helicopter parenting in this particular set of circumstances, I think I kind of think it's probably the better alternative.
Why do you think it's better? Like, help me understand that.
Because the ultimate say still relies on the esports team at Blizzard in terms of the decisions with their IP. They haven't just given away the keys to the car and let someone else drive it, you know, into traffic or whatever. So there's some level of oversight with largely that they have an incentive to adhere to certain rules, right? Which generally, I guess it's like one way of checks and balances, especially if the community can apply pressure, because like they are beholden to, for instance, a North American community making a lot of pressure, right?
Sure.
So that's cool. I think the underdog runs, like, there is something very special.
There is
esports. Like people sometimes that happens actually. Like I have to sort of disagree with Hater Yiska here. Sometimes magic happens and underappreciated people make it far.
Yeah.
And for instance, someone like Boaster is a perfect example in Valorant, who was not signed to the larger teams and who had to prove themselves, eventually getting with Fnatic and now being arguably the best team of the last year, right? Like It's a possibility to come to have like very unusual career paths where someone who's not 20 or 18 can still be on top of esports and catch up to these young guys. That's like these unusual stories that break the established patterns that the deciders, the gatekeepers, have to rationally abide by. Of course, if I'm in GM, I'm also not getting the 26-year-old that works his ass off. If I have an 18-year-old that works his ass off and they have the same level of, you know, level of like involvement and like grit to grind through it, because the one guy gives me potentially many years of career, right? Like if I can
if Seeker, to use like an underappreciated talent for an example, right? I think that like people have not been appreciative of Seeker's talents, and I don't think he's been on a team to like really unlock his potential in any kind of way. If Seeker was put on Runaway and they make this like crazy run with, you know, Seeker banning the hit scan DPS, whatever the fuck you want to pin it as, like, yeah, that will be sexy. And I want to phrase this. I'm confident that that will likely happen, but is that enough? You know what I mean? Like, great. But like, is that enough?
Eric has a great point, which is these systems also force much more games for the better teams. We're not watching toilet bowls every step of the way. We're actually through the system, through the filtering process, right? And there will be, I'm sure, some issues in terms of the... That's, by the way, another argument towards like Blizzard being involved, because it probably means that there's also some coordination with patches, timing, when they set in, when they have planned them, with likely. Their seasons, right? And that has more stable results where, like, if a patch comes in at a good... Let's say a team has the patch for 4 weeks and a favorite loses against an underdog, I'm not that mad.
Sure.
In comparison, if it happened last week, patch, or 3 days ago, right? So I hope that's being considered. But also just like the filtering process of the general bracket where everyone has to go through. And then, yes, there will maybe be some unlucky exceptions, but generally speaking, the best rise to the top, and they then have a Swiss tournament, right, to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then we have a double elimination. There's a lot of quality checks and balances where this locking and stealing yourself like the great later rounds because someone fucked up the bracket by beating a favorite, it's now less likely or less bad because like they have more chances, therefore increasing the quality of the finals just by virtue of the system, which is in that aspect, like in terms of the competitive format, I love it much more than Overwatch League ever.
Agreed. I think that like, and that's a very like fundamental question with Overwatch fans, is whether or not we have selected a competitive fan base or an entertainment fan base. I feel like we have an entertainment fan base, and we've kind of already talked about this, how I feel like we're moving backwards to kind of re-sow the seeds to find a more competitive fan base. I think the open circuit facilitates that beautifully. That's awesome. But we have to literally like hemorrhage a little bit to grow, right? Like we have to be able to cut off some of the entertainment in some ways to grow a more competitive audience. And that's not a bad thing, but like, don't cry to me when our major in, what is it? The spring?
May? Late May, yeah.
Like, if we hit like 30,000 viewers.
Yeah.
But because, the teams aren't here,
but
we don't know what that's going to look like.
Because like, what if, like, if, for instance, like, what if the buzz was big enough? What if we had enough esports brands because they, like, maybe G2 gets a team and then, like, Kamin Corp gets a team and then...
I'm willing to be like, wrong. I'm
Mad Lions
down
or
to
Toronto
eat
Defiant has Ibai watching it and celebrating it. And because the prize pool is there, because we have enough like adversity but inherent by the culture of esports, and there is something there that can lift it to higher heights than it was previously, right? Unencumbered by the league structure and what could have been. There's a possibility if the resources are there. And it is, in many ways, resource-based or incentive-based. Because, like, if I'm an orc owner and I'm looking at this, I cannot have an opinion. And that, in essence, I know folks think, like, oh, maybe we don't need orcs. Cap, I thought about this a lot because I also thought, like, for a while, given that orcs were all, we're being bled dry by, like, the player salary demands.
I think the vast majority of orgs are fucking cap facilities. Like, I do think that a lot of these orgs probably do need to fail, but to say that orgs are not necessary is head ass.
Yes, because you know what they provide? Fucking executed function of being an adult, okay?
Yeah.
None of these fucks could have done their visa process or whatever, could have scheduled their flights and their hotels and their transports there, could have, you know, like, fed themselves.
They're actually shooting themselves in the foot because they don't want to make content and they don't want to stream their own fucking games. But you're going to tell me that we don't need orgs and you want to go like straight like business to consumer marketing. Like, actually, I want to chew on
and
a brick.
In the end, and then it's like, well, the older players will like maybe take over and take out, and then they will make their orgs themselves. And then they're orcs again.
Exactly.
Like, it's
fucking like, and again, I'm here for the conversation about like what an org really like offers you. I think that is a very fruitful discussion that I think this ecosystem needs to have a lot. But to say that it's not necessary or that like maybe that's the future of esports, I'm that's some loud pack shit.
What is possible is, and this is an intriguing system that I have not seen in the West yet, but apparently, like in Japanese esport, there is like a lot of the teams push their content through the channels of the player. Okay? And because everyone is a little parasocial Andy and likes to get it from the personality, right? Like they want
to
root for the person. They just supply production crews and whatnot and help flesh out. I think like G2 is probably the closest to this. It's not that they push it through the thingy, but they work with their players in order to find something about them that's interesting, right? It's a very different approach to something like Kamin Corp and Koi, where the cult is the team.
Yes, yeah.
There is a world where the player is still the forefront of that, right? And where they push the personality of the player, the orc sort of like strings along. They get some contractual assurances on the revenue because they shouldn't lose money. They should make money. But maybe, as I said before, it's for some reason, there's something in our monkey brains where it's like, co-streamer Pog, let's tier 3 sub. And oh no, I will not pay $5 for an entire season for an esports product, right? And that gap might also be bridged by pushing content through the players, fleshing out their personalities, having the orc string along, and or a team, or maybe it's an agency. Maybe players should get a team manager and a video
an
producer.
Agent? Okay, I'm
does that stuff and can keep them in-house, give them a percentage of their YouTube channel and keep pushing that way. There is a certain business savviness that you cannot demand of every esports player. And given, especially in Overwatch, having seen what they are like, there are few that have the capacity to do that at that age. But there is it's definitely a potential. There's also, maybe we're filtering for that, right? Maybe Overwatch will finally have some staying power where the legends actually stick around because there's something for them to play, right? For them to participate. Every new cycle will be a possibility for them to create content. Maybe they start out competing, then they go into co-streaming. They can build their brand on a more open system and stick around, you know?
Does that not feel so far in the future, though? I feel like that's a possible world, okay. But like it's just so far out of reach. And I'm not talking like 10 plus years, but I mean like even talking like in the ballpark of like 5 or maybe even shorter than that.
The one good thing is like what we know is this is a multi-year deal. Okay. So They already like have set some timeline potentially in the future that they are giving this some time to breathe, right? And it is a little cope. I also always was of the opinion that the start, especially of the open system, would be categorically worse than the worst of the Overwatch League. But theoretically, the upside of what kind of...
Big upside.
I'm also going to disclose that I'm very biased to that type of content, that I always fucked with more.
Sure, of course. It's a more lush landscape to form narratives, to create drama. It's going to write itself, but that's where my question ultimately lies, is like, who is going to write that script? Are we finally going to get that, or are we just going to dilly fuck around for another 7 years before we get any smart people in that front office? Is Faceit going to do it, or is Blizzard going to helicopter parent it to death again? That's where I have to just look at the precedent that I have and go, maybe that, but that's what we've been saying. You know what I mean? Like that's what I feel like Overwatch esports has been for so long, is maybe the league could work.
Here's the good thing about esports winter. The grifters are gone. Yeah. Sure. All the opportunity Andes that loved to suckle on the teat of VC money are gone.
Maybe they just found a bigger teeth to suckle on, man. I don't know.
There's two great motivators. Love for the game and necessity because you don't have anything else, okay? Both of those guys are still around. The rest is mostly gone. There's not much to squeeze at this point. And whoever is still here, I think have good intentions, right?
I think most of these people like have good intentions, but like for whatever reason are so out of touch, so not connected with like what, and this is the $1 million question, like what an audience, what a consumer really wants. But every time we get a little close, we don't like, we are not galvanized from the top down. You know what I mean? Like we don't continue in that direction. Every time I feel like we have like a headway somewhere, the momentum just leaves us. And a lot of that does, and I hate to just beat this to death, it comes from narratives and it comes from drama. It comes from that kind of like entertainment that is like ubiquitous within every esport. Why do we consistently look at Riot as like the de facto production leader? Is because they get it.
Yeah, and even they are struggling, right? There were a ton of layoffs. I was supposed to have VCT interviews today. The people that coordinated that shit were laid off.
That's I chalk that up to the esports winter. I don't necessarily think that that's like them. That's not a criticism of like their success or failures when it comes to creating content. And it doesn't even feel like it's that far out of like the Blizzard Entertainment ballpark, because I feel like fucking StarCraft still does this okay. Erica, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that community and that leadership, that those producers are so in tune with like what the audience wants, and they just do it on a lower budget. Am I like crazy and like not remembering like some like lead up to like the WCS finals where like there is like some really cool like touching pieces and like you know what I mean? Like it's within the like their own company that they also get it. But for whatever reason, it has just never bled over to Overwatch esports all that well. And I don't know why that is. I will forever agree that there are people with great intentions, but they cannot execute. And I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe they are.
And I don't know if Faceit solves this. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe face it solved this. Maybe the people that have been gatekeeping those ideas from coming to fruition are gone. That all is a possibility. Sadly, that's not going to come in an announcement. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, like, I think the entire expertise is also very within EFG is very much towards creating a traditional esports product, even though they have done white label production as well.
Sure.
Of course, but I think there will be a transformative effect towards the community and what it will be like. And in large parts, the success of this will also be based on what kind of appetite the viewer base of this team, this game has. And maybe we will be surprised and realize that they've actually fucked with this format much more than they ever did with the Overwatch League, maybe.
Hopefully. I would love to be so out of touch. I would love to not know my audience more than for this to be a resounding success and we are fucking swimming in money and we're super successful and there are no social quandaries. There's no worry about any kind of like harm coming to, you know, any kind of marginalized people. That would be great. I would love that. That would be fantastic. That the game I fell in love with can have a resurgence. Awesome. Great. It is just so hard to see that. There's just so many like maybes and ifs. And boy, howdy, I sure hope that in 3 or so years that like that's the reality that I get to wake up to. It's just like, We've spent the last, I feel like, 5 or 6 shows that have been around Overwatch esports and not ranking any kind of like historical figures, talking about how we want experimentation and we want competition from like the TOs, which, let's face it, probably was always like a fool's errand to like wish for. But do you feel?
Initially, it could have been. We had that for a while, okay. Right? We had MLG, we had...
I mean, yes, we had that, but I feel like the ultimate like... plan for Blizzard was to always bring that in-house and then squeeze out any kind of competition, much like they've done now.
Yeah, just right? Because of the Overwatch League looming, I think there's less incentive for them to do that now. Actually, like, part of me hopes that stuff like Tech TV comes back, right? Like,
that would be great.
That would be great, yeah. Some more couch stuff. Like, I hope EFG is very, very liberal in their approval process of who gets to use their tools in terms of like the signups and whatnot. I hope Blizzard is very liberal in their handing out tournament licenses within reason, right? Like not everyone, but smaller community cups could be fine. There has to be something for folks that are no longer within OWCS, because, you know, people would drop out frequently. Little weekend cups in between would be super nice. Getting some regulars to do that, getting some co-streamers to organize with their fan base, to have something like that happen frequently, to really, you know, flesh out the flavor of the scene again. I think we saw some of that. I think J3 had a tournament.
J3's doing something tournament-wise, and those are the buds of like a healthy landscape, but I think we're so like content opposed from like a player perspective that it's just going to take a lot of time that we have. I don't think we're going anywhere, but it's just like, this is going to get, and we've also said this in the past, this is not like new rhetoric, but like things are going to get a lot worse before they get any better. Like, we are going to have to unironically reset. And to me, this announcement did not make that any better. Like, that did not alleviate any kind of like worries that reset is going to be very, very like drastic, because like you said, and I agree with this, the transformative change of this structure, of this format, of this production is going to be such a different experience that I worry that it's so different that people are going to be turned off, which might eventually turn into a good thing, and we cultivate a more competitive landscape get out anybody who wasn't necessarily in it for like the quote unquote right reasons. And we have a healthy growth vector. That's just hard to see coming. You know what I mean? Like that's the doomer in me, if you will.
Yeah.
Because again, like we've talked about like the functional differences of like the system, the, you know, the ethics concerns, but like, let's talk business. Like what does Blizzard have to offer to these teams? What do they want to offer? Because we're not doing skins. I think you brought up a good point around, you know, the World Cup crowdfunding and whatnot. And maybe that could be a thing. Maybe that's their avenue forward. But is that something that's going to be super like sexy for team organizers? Is the prize pool enough to get like a critical mass of team organizers to kind of like have at least a healthy top end? Because let's face it, I think one of the big problems in the Overwatch League, something that we've talked about with like within regards to team building and whatnot, was that like it was very top heavy, right? You spent money and you got success. That's pretty like correlative, right? I feel like that's just how things are going to be for at least for a little bit. When, you know, you have a couple team owners, you know, maybe try to test the waters in Overwatch. You see some big brands come in and they buy a team up and, you know, happy for the players, they get paid. But like then there's a bunch of people who have a bunch of logistical concerns and a bunch of like resource errors. Like it can be kind of fun in that way where you can David and Goliath this to death, but it's I think this just has spawned a lot of this like emotion has spawned out of like the frictionless response that this has all gotten. Like we have been so starved that everybody is just so excited to have anything that nobody's actually looking at this and going, well, this is kind of weird. Like, is this better?
No.
I don't know. Like, I am down to cope. It's just so hard to see that kind of play out in any, like, reasonable timeline. It probably will play out. I do think that, like, there will be more edible narratives for a broadcast to produce, even if, like, production somehow doesn't change or, you know, the ideology of the production doesn't change. Like it is better, but it's just going to take time to recapture that audience because it's going to be different. That product's going to be different. All the Homer Andes, all the geo location boomers are going to be out. You have to try to retap into like the individual esports fan. And even that's difficult because sometimes their player, my streamer, is not playing on screen. So I'm not fucking watching. Period. The end.
That's fine.
But like, is that like how does that impact in a landscape that we're already questioning how much is viewership really to sponsors? Like, I can't imagine that inconsistent viewership is better, right?
I mean, it would give some pointers as to what people like, and it's probably a better data point to figure that out than, you know, view-botted, client-sided.
I mean, yeah, sure.
And open, you know, magically on wikis. You know?
Fair. That's not lost on me. But like, what is, and I'm at, this is an unfair question to ask you, but like, what is more to extrapolate from that than, I like it when Seagull play on stream. We want Seagull forehead. Like,
at least you're liking someone, dude. Like, I'm not Aiden.
I like it when XQC is on my screen.
Yeah, why not? Oh,
it's better than nothing, but
Dan, can you imagine XQC coming back and having his own little team? I mean, probably losing in round three, but still, that shit would be big. Tim the Tatman coming back, Moon, all those guys having like little.
That would be a great Band-Aid because like you can't, don't lie to me and say that that's going to be consistent for the next couple years. Like no. That's a one time favor to Blizzard. You know what I mean? But, and that would be great to smooth out the process. Look, that would be fantastic.
Look, the thing is, like, these guys are now, they've reached escape velocity, okay? They are no longer beholden to the gravitational pull of the Overwatch ecosystem. But the next guy that comes up, right? Mm-hmm. That next guy that spawns from this should hopefully not just, like, try to run for the hills of general gaming at the first best situation and leave their team high and dry in order to not win season 5. But stick around in Overwatch Esports and maybe have a co-stream there. Maybe build a brand on there. Like, someone like Cadrel could have probably done general gaming as a streamer as well. No, he's now creating content in League.
Okay.
And is a 60k, 70k Andy when games pop off. And that's where I want the next personalities emerging from this new system to be. I want them to have an incentive to stick around and not leave at the earliest convenience.
Fair. And I think that is the ultimate goal, is to create an ecosystem that, like, somebody can feasibly maintain, and, like, there is a ladder to climb, and then once you get to the top of it, you are so successful that you can just continue to do what you do and enjoy it.
You know who's already at the top, Joe?
Who?
You catch it.
Don't.
Our Patreon subs.
Oh, true. Yes. The patrons that support the show, they are at the top. They're supporting the
I was blanking on the name of subscriber. You know how late it is in my brain right now?
That's fair.
Three neurons are, like, having a pint right now. That's
I could bad. Use a beer after this. I might need a beer to go do my WoW raid after this. So,
oh, damn.
The most savvy gamers are Battlecry, Refine, Bean, Bronze, Bob, Buhal, Lulshin, Rexane, Volumel, and Sugar High, and our YouTube members, IMDRW, Brother, Adamel, IceMJL, Fireman 6, and AK. Sorry for taking so long. We got a little rolling. The wick was lit and we had to explode. Apologies again. But I'm down to cope. I'm down to
straight back to Aiden.
I'm not leading into hating. I'm leading into something that I feel like will make your eyes roll, but it will be successful in the long run and could save Overwatch, right?
Let me see.
Right? Ready for this? You're going to hate it. You're going to despise it, but it is proven to be successful time and time again. And if you're saying that in the next 3 or so years, somebody like this emerges, great. Does Overwatch need a Jinxie to emerge today?
Yes, and I don't hate it.
Okay. Hate it. Yeah. All right.
Okay, let me say, like, I'm not researched on the guy's, like, cancer factor.
Sure, strategy.
But generally
not the
speaking,
person, yes. The ideas that he has around his content, or lack thereof, are successful.
Yes.
Right?
Just an absolute, like a Kesha, you know, like in League. Just someone that screams and is very entertaining and, like, maybe just plays Hanzo or something. Well, what's the psychotic hero that someone like that would mean? Is it Junkrat?
Junkrat. I think Hanzo can be like some crazy, like, freak out shit, a Widow main. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter to me who, you know, it is playing. But, like, that's the type of stuff that is already successful with this audience. We've seen it be successful. And it's asking a lot of somebody just to, like, don a mask and just do that. That's not something I'm asking. But, like, if an open system allows for that type of person to, like, catch an eye or two and, like, grow, great. But again, it's going to take time. That's the ultimate, like, problem here. I don't even think it's necessarily resources. I just think it's time.
Yeah.
Because we have to rebuild who's watching the game, how that's consumed. All of this stuff is going to take time. It always was time. I don't think it was necessarily resources. time to get people the fuck out that are stymieing any kind of good ideas, because I know that, like, anybody front facing on that broadcast are not stupid. I'm not calling these people dumb. I have spoken to a good majority of them. They're not stupid.
No.
But for whatever reason, those ideas are not translating to the...
No, they're just being held back. That's the entire thing. They are.
That's my issue.
They, like, whoever, like, chose that focus group and collected that data and also considered listening to Reddit, which very frequantly happens, by the way. Don't, like...
I know.
Make no mistake.
I hate to say it, but Flame was right.
Doomed this shit. Like, it's... There's no world where in esports, from my point of view, can ever be about quirkiness or wholesomeness. It cannot be. It's a competitive product. We're simulating fucking war here to some extent, okay? This is the gladiatorial arena, okay?
Sure.
There has to be drama. There has to be confrontation. There has to be shit talk. There has to be middle fingers every once in a while. There have to be sex and big dicks, okay? But, sure. Like, I agree the direction is not hard analysis. That's not what I was...
No,
wanted.
Of course.
I realize that this is not what people want. But, like, some adversity... The success of the Uncoachable podcast in a scene as dead as fuck as this right now is, still getting, like, 10,000 views every podcast, is, like... testament to that this is the type of content where there is an audience for and that gets the spirits going. And even people that say they hate it, they watch that shit anyway.
Yep. You're clicking the clips, you're on LSF, you're on Twitch, you're all consuming content just like that. Whether it's fucking shitty reality TV or not, it's all coming from the same place. You love it. We love it. It's great. You can hate it. It doesn't matter. So long as you, like, have a reaction to it, right? That's the ultimate, like, tapping into a vein. Like, we have not had a pulse for so long. I think you're so correct in tapping the Uncoachable podcast. Like, that is that should be a vein that Blizzard and Faceit significantly looks at. And... not reverse engineer, but tries to take essence and takes bits and pieces of getting the players to open up, having former players, people that they know, because I feel like that's a lot of it, right? They know these people. They're familiar with them. They've bumped in at Lions. They scrim. They hang out. They'll play games after scrims, whatever it is. However you need to parse it out, they're able to connect with these people and open up and have... and share those stories and divulge. And it's safe to, because of whatever reason, right? That has to be implemented, right? And I feel like that's just such an... Am I crazy for saying, like, that's just so easy to, like... That is such good content.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we've ever really attempted to... have good content within Overwatch esports. We've tried to have professional content in Overwatch esports. Is that like a fair assessment?
Yeah. I mean, there's some. It makes sense. You're trying to sell broadcasting rights. You're trying to sell sponsorships. You're trying to get on Disney and stuff. I get that from the business model.
Agreed.
This has probably not worked reliably. There's no business for these types of brands. Now you got to appeal to a different type of sponsor, a type of different type of audience, which arguably is there, and that needs a different monetization scheme. But no doubt, like it's profitable everywhere else on the internet. Drama sells.
Yep. And like that, I don't know exactly how it looks like to message this, but like. That has to be also in essence how the content, again, it's hard to like not use jargony words, but like that has to be messaged that like that is also as a strategy being shifted away from. You know what I mean? Like that would give me a lot of cope. That would help me cope with the rest of you that like this is not just going to be Overwatch 2.0 or Overwatch League 2.0 where it's just contenders light and they don't really give two shits about it and face it is running on a like a lower budget than the OWL broadcast was originally and it's kind of just the same. Mm-hmm. Same faces, same voices, same content strategy. It's Overwatch League light and we kind of float around in tier 3 forever.
I'm mostly you know like I'm mostly interested in the best players. I'll be looking towards Korea once again. I'm also excited sure. that they will have more LAN.
They're probably
going
to do it better anyways.
I'm very excited. Actually, maybe that fell through the cracks. From what I understand, the Korean portion will largely be played offline, which is like phenomenal in terms of content.
Easier,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, largely. Like, of course, not the open bracket. They're not going to cram 512 teams into a booth, no. right? You get what I'm saying. Like the broadcasted... Yeah. stuff at a certain stage will be held offline. I forgot where it was. That I think WGG had a video out.
Oh, they have like an arena?
They have an arena. It's more like, yeah, it's more like a theater type thing.
Sure, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking for, like, I'm looking forward towards that, especially considering, like, the best players usually play there, right? So. But yeah, that's another question. Like, is there money for exports realistically? Does region locking even matter when
I think it, like, unironically, we're gonna like financially region lock ourselves because there's not gonna be any fucking way to import people. And the teams that do will, and they'll probably be more successful.
That's the thing. Like, maybe that's true, and I don't know. And like, once again, we do not know about the incentives.
We don't.
The carrots.
And I am wildly speculating. But I would be shocked to see Blizzard be willing to really try to foot the bill again, because you and I both know that they've been footing a pretty big bill for the last maybe 5 years, you know? Like, it's looking pretty rough.
That's an interesting question. I have no idea how much they retained from the initial payment of those franchises. I don't think anyone has ever made them did the math and if they came out really that behind, because presumably they got a pretty big chunk of the broadcasting deal as well, of the sponsorships, of the buy-ins, how much of that went back. That's probably like an interesting endeavor to do the math on, even though it's unlikely to ever be accurate. But I wonder also what would be the running cost? What would be the marketing cost and staffing?
I think
and
if you can cite the Morgan Stanley report, you'd probably be able to at least get within a ballpark to see, like, did we match even like a low end projection?
The low end projection, obviously, actually, okay. Like, having looked at it recently, it's
the high end projections were fucking at, like, bonkers bonanzas. Yeah. Like, that
the low end projections within reach, yeah, for most metrics, I would say. Not as off the wall as I remembered it, but that's mostly said because, like, the high end projections left such a lasting impression,
of course. Yeah, it's just such a fucking gigantic margin, but. Even with that said, like, let's say that that's the case, and that would be interesting to actually look at. I agree. We don't have any, at least not to my knowledge, not to, you know, any kind of announcement as of yet. Like, we don't know what the broadcast
will look like,
where it's going
to
be.
I'm kind of scared for that. Yeah.
Like, again, I think I will forever cite, I think it was Uber on Reddit. Also did like a big deep dive when we were doing like the whole is should we be on YouTube debate, right? And he really kind of like spelled it out for a lot of people that, like, how much is viewership really worth to sponsors? Is that going to be better than any kind of like exclusivity offers that you have? Like, really kind of like drawing some real questions to the audience that, you know, rightfully isn't supposed to think about this stuff, but like it answers a lot of questions, sadly, with questions.
Yeah, I think, okay, so because I feel like we're repeating ourselves a lot here.
Yes.
The one thing that I want to say, and I guess I should have said that at the time, like, I kind of made it sound like I was disclosing any behind-the-scenes information. I think it's very obvious that the casters are currently piping up, given their socials. I saw a lot of them comment on cuts recently, on also maybe some other casters stepping out of line and taking the lesser deal, and I think that's enough to go on in order to arrive at the conclusion that I took in terms of the lowered rates, even though I will not deny that, of course, I have a little bit more knowledge there than what is publicly known. But I think in conclusion, it comes about in a wash that casters are not in great shape in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't shock me. It's always been a craft that has been the target of budget cuts first and foremost. It's so difficult to try to explain to an executive that, like, the people who speak in the arena are worth, you know, paying. Plain and simple. And whether or not you agree with that, that's kind of the case. Not to completely derail, but Albert, yeah, former GM of Florida Mayhem, 2023 world champion, GM, did kind of lay out some bullet points recently that I think if you didn't believe us, then maybe you'll believe him, or you know, echo a lot of the same questions that we do. He talks about how the import rules are great for long term talent development. Is that a thing? I don't know what that means. What is he referencing?
Saying this? Oh, I haven't seen this.
I'll link you.
Wait, let me, Eric, I know you're waving around. Okay, this is an imperfect cut, but we're going here. Import rules are great for long-term talent development.
What's that mean? What is that in reference to?
Because,
am I crazy?
Huh? Because of the import rules that we have. Only two non-residential players.
Yeah. Like, it is. I think that is good. I think that will be more successful for at least a Western fan base.
Is this wrong? Only six teams make it to DreamHack? It's nine. It's eight, right? It's an eight-team event.
Honestly, I didn't go that far. I didn't look at those specifics, to be fair.
Yeah, like it's eight. The assumption being that that's why I don't know the split right now. They said it's eight teams. We have three regions. Eight is famously not divisible by three, so one has to get an advantage, right?
Sure.
And there was something about, I think, the wildcard event of like the third or fourth or something, like the last seeds, but that was, I believe, in APAC. I don't know how you would make that that game or that competition that decides which region gets the additional slot, right? Or which two regions, I suppose. Because, like, you know, it would require three for two regions and one region to draw the short end of stick and only have two. Arguably, that should be Europe, but maybe they'll decide different. So that is confusing. I agree nine would be better, even though, in terms of, like, fairness, even though a nine team bracket always is a little nasty, especially if it comes under the premise of double a limb and how do you decide who the last seeds are. With Faceit Evolve, there are plans to implement FPL for Overwatch 2. I would be skeptical about this. I asked people that are not at all knowledgeable or internal, but they also had the same inclination that I had. This is unlikely to be the case. Chinese players are all ineligible to play as imports due to lack of publisher agreement. Massive blow to the quality of competition. Agreed. Very much agreed. I don't think there's a workaround for it right now, but it's also a very easy solution going forward once that is approved.
Again, arguably, a time thing.
Arguably, whenever that comes in, you can, like, if that happens in the summer, then you can still have them for the second part of the year. Well, yeah. I'm not sure if that's a thing, but it sounded like they were piping up to get something done there in the past. For long-term viability, there needs to be some sort of in-game digital item revenue tied to teams and players, whether it's skin bundles, team skins, player signatures, etc. This is a must to get serious Orc involvement back into the scene. Agreed. Once again, the holy grail of digital item revenue has lost its sheen for me a little bit, but it is definitely one of the viable ways in order to make this. Others would be...
It's at least a way to like incentivize teams to want to like participate, other than just like a prize pool, you know?
Yeah.
I think sweetening the deal is the key.
Yeah, for sure. I don't hate it. I think digital representation also impacts the wider games culture. I for long thought that Overwatch esports should have more cultural hook into the actual game in order for folks to get interested. I don't know why it's treated like... okay, I understand that you do not want to invest time developing that stuff. That's completely feasible. It always felt like, not from a developer standpoint necessarily, but like from a casual player base, they almost felt it was offensive if stuff like that was in the game. Like the way esports is treated, Overwatch esports is treated in like public discourse around the game where it otherwise happens, like the subreddits, like the TikToks and whatnot. It always feels a little out of place and for no reason. I think they aren't generally opposed to the idea of esports. It's just like something icky about the Overwatch League or something to them. Just because of how the price, how it was initially perceived to go. I think a lot of them have the idea that Overwatch League impacted the way how this game was developed a lot. Yeah. I think to some degree it might have. In terms of how Overwatch 2 rolled out, fair enough on that. Most of the time, like, balanced decisions or whatnot. You wish.
That's head-ass, yeah.
You wish, yeah, right. Like, and hopefully, if anything, that's something that works out going forward more. But yeah, there, I also want the developer involvement more. I want them to love the esports. I want them to feel a certain creative responsibility towards the Overwatch scene. And I felt that a little bit in Jared Noyce's statements post grand finals. Whether or not that's genuine, it's hard to, I choose to not be cynical here. I think I'm inclined to believe him. So, I think to have some mind space representation in the developer's mind of developing the game for the esports player, for the competitive player, for the hardcore player, and for others to aspire to be them is still a very real way to make a profit. Maybe this is contentious. I know for a while everyone tried to make their game an esport. Not many games have the capacity to have a successful one. But it very obviously is working for several developers in selling those, namely Wealth and Riot. And I think there's still something to be said there about the business case as well, especially if it has some representation in the game. And if there is some natural attention pipeline towards the upper echelons of competitive play, going into Faceit, going into the Overwatch Championship Series.
Agreed. Very much agreed. And we, like many end of shows, will basically just have to wait and see. I will operate on the cynical half of the show, surprisingly. But that's just kind of the fact of the matter. Shit's rough. I think it'll get rougher before it gets better, and we're just gonna have to ride it out. I do think that greener pastures are ahead of us, but it's gonna take some time.
Yeah,
it's gonna take some serious time, and there are some confidence boosters out there that I think that Blizzard and Faceit can reassure and tap into on many of the different vectors that I've kind of laid out, whether it be, you know, ethical or social or system, not systems, but like the structure of what OWCS is going to look like, right? All of those things can be bolstered in confidence, but that comes down to communication, right? And that channel has to be maintained. It was always something that we lambasted Blizzard for. We celebrated it when they did it, and then they stopped doing it. So it that's another way that this gets better for me, right? You keep talking to us. You talk to us about what the vision's like, what can we expect, what, you know, answering a lot of those questions as best as you can, because obviously this is still being built, but we all know you've been building it for a little bit. So keeping it as close to your chest is definitely not going to help you as it has in the past. So we will see. Any final thoughts on the OWCS?
I'm out of thoughts. I feel like I was out of thoughts 20 minutes ago, but
yeah, it's okay. Here we are. Are you playing any games? Are you Power World pilled?
I'm still a Tarkov.
You're still Tarkov Andy'd, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I had like a skill peak breakthrough. Now I'm.
Oh?
Yeah, I feel like.
Are you trying again?
I had a good week. And then now the problem is like that high gave me some hubris, and now I'm like, I'm back.
You're chatting up.
Now I'm back to bad habits of like running everywhere and like thinking I can win that gunfight because I understand movement better and like how to engage these. I think realistically, with my mechanical ability, I should be playing much more strategically. But yeah, I think like I'm getting a lot of quests done, so that's fun. Looking still here and there, playing some Against the Storm.
Okay, I'm still playing Against the Storm. Very good.
Other than that, not really, honestly.
No?
Like, I've been reading a bunch again.
Good for you. Nope. I'm supposed to. Me and my girlfriend have a challenge to read 30 books this year, and I have not started.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
Look, I thought like I was going to read 24 this year, to a month. And I started out with fucking Gyuda, the abbreviation is Jep. Gyuda Escherbach. This is off to a great start. Gyuda Escher. Yeah, it's Gyuda Escherbach. Yeah, okay. And that book is gigantic. Okay, like it's like this thick. Like it's like the Harry Potter trial, like first four books or something. It's gigantic, so maybe that will put a dent into my plans, but I'm committed to
it. You just strategize around it, you know? Sure. Not to completely cheese a challenge, but, you know, maybe we don't read the entire Tolkien estate this month.
It's worse. I asked ChatGPT what I should know before going into it, and let me find it. It basically told me to take my time because it's very heavy reading, and you probably wait here. Time and reflection. Due to its depth and breadth, Jep is a book that might require more time to read and reflect upon than a typical book. It's often beneficial to take slowly and ponder the ideas presented. This book has like 800 pages or something, but like large ones. This was not the book to start with, but I already read one, and I think you would like it. It's the Rick Rubin book, The Creative Act. The Creative Act, A Way of Being. Like I really enjoyed it. It's basically like some pragmatism towards it, but it has a spiritual bend. Fraud is reading it as well. It's also not too large. I enjoyed it a lot.
We'll give it a look. He's definitely I've caught a couple headlines of his that I'm like, okay, I don't know if I agree with you, but I feel like maybe there's some agreeable points to some of the shit that he's saying. But yeah. Gamer's gonna game. This boy's gonna Tarkov. There is a new survival game out. Obviously, if it wasn't obvious, I'm hooked on Pal World. I would love to not be hooked on it because it's getting a little grindy for my taste, but maybe I will continue, maybe I won't. I think there's a new survival game that just came out that a friend of mine picked up, so I may pick it up as well, even though I really probably shouldn't, but fuck it. But yeah, pretty much chilling. Pretty chill. Excited to get some Overwatch esports. Skeptical on how things will turn out. I'll, you know, enjoy it, follow it, maybe report, not report, but like write analysis and stuff on it, depending on what it looks like, how things go. But yeah, anything coming out for you? Anything coming down the pipeline?
No, just covering the, yeah, of course, I'm actively trying to reach out to official channels in order to get some insight into the decisions-making process. I'll crank up the good old Overwatch interview stuff again. I think I'll also branch out into at least one other esport and just like catch a bunch of interviews. I want to get better at interviews in 2024 as one thing that I submitted to. I think my prep is pretty good. I want to be much more receptive and really spot and much more attentively go towards where I think there's, you know, I want to gold dig into the answers and find something interesting that the interviewer gives me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that this year.
Based. I think very much on the same wavelength when it comes to diversifying. Finally, dabbled in the past, tease a little bit with like Valorant, but I think I may go learn an RTS.
Okay.
Reconnect with my inner child, if you will, and enjoy that. Hopefully, we'll see where that takes us if we get smitten again. So we'll see. All right. That's going to be it for 3:30. Overwatch Esports is back, but we're going to have to see if it's better. So till next week, we will see you in 3:31.
Peace.